although I did come here in the late 90s sometime, or early 2000, from Juhu, there was so much traffic on the way, especially on that day, it took us like 3 hours to get here. And in the meantime, the darshans closed. And when we got here, we were very disappointed. And when we complained to the devotees that we are so fallen and we really needed the darshan, they said, okay, if you are so fallen, we'll let you have the darshan of our temple president. His name is Krishnanam. So we had darshans for Krishnanam Prabhu. He showed us around the whole project at that time. And then yesterday I got another tour, and it looks quite a bit different. So many things have changed so much, can't even recognize them. All for better. Then Krishnanam Prabhu one time showed up at the ISKCON Vancouver temple. So I was very surprised to see him, because I had no information. And he told me he's living there in Burnaby. Our Vancouver temple is also in Burnaby. So this is the first time I am here and be able to see Radha Gopinath. I'm so glad that I made it. So today we're going to speak on the 11th canto, 12th chapter, and the 12th verse, Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Tana vidan maya anusanga baddha. Diya swam atmanam adastathedam. Yatha samadha munaya ditaya munaya dita nadya pravishta iva nama rupe nadya pravishta iva nama rupe Tana vidanmaya anusanga baddha. Diya swam atmanam adastathedam. Yatha samadha muniyabdhitoye nadya pravishta iva nama rupe. Tana vidanmaya anusanga baddha. Diya swam atmanam adastathedam. Yatha samadha munayabdhitoye nadya
नद्या प्रविष्टाइव नाम रूपे
गो अहेड the gopis, na, not, avidan, were aware of, mai, in me, anusanga, by intimate contact, baddha, bound up, dhyat, their consciousness, swam, their own, atmanam, body or self, adah, something remote, tatha, thus considering, idam, this which is not near, yatha, just as, samadhau, in yoga samadhi, munayah, great sages, abdi, of the ocean, toy, in the water, nadya, the rivers, pravishta, having entered, iva, like, nama, names, rupe, the forms. Translation. My dear Uddhava, just as the great sages in yoga trance merge into self-realization, like rivers merging into the ocean, and thus not aware of material names and forms, similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan were so completely attached to me within their minds that they could not think of their own bodies or of this world or of their future lives. Their entire consciousness was simply bound up in me. Please repeat. My dear Uddhava, just as the great sages
in the yoga trance, merge into self-realization. Like the rivers merging into the ocean, and are thus not aware of material names and forms. Similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan were so completely attached to me within their minds that they could not think of their own bodies or of the world or of the future lives. Their entire consciousness was simply bound up in me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The words swam atmanam adas tathedam indicates that while for the ordinary persons, one's personal body is the most near and dear thing, the gopis considered their own bodies to be distant and remote, just as a yogi in samadhi trance considers ordinary things around his physical body or his physical body itself to be most remote. When Krishna played on the flute late at night, the gopis immediately forgot everything about their so-called husbands and children and went to dance with Lord Krishna in the forest. These controversial points have been already explained in the book Krishna by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The basic explanation is that Lord Krishna is the source of everything and gopis are the Lord's own potency. Thus, there is no discrepancy or immortality in the almighty personality of Godhead's loving affairs with His own manifest potency, the gopis who happen to be most beautiful young girls in the creation. Of God. There is no illusion on the part of the gopis, for they are so attracted to Lord Krishna that they do not care to think of anything else, since all existence is situated within the body of Lord Krishna. There is no loss for the gopis when they concentrate on the Lord. It is the nature of very deep love to exclude all objects except the beloved. However, in the material world, where we try to love limited temporary objects, such as our nation, family, personal body, our exclusion of other objects constitutes ignorance. But when our love is intensely concentrated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of everything, such concentration cannot be considered ignorance or small-mindedness. So if you don't mind, we'll just cover this much first and then go further into the purport. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karunasindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతి దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వాంఛకల్పతరుగశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనిభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యనంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. So these couple of verses are explaining the special position of the gopis. This whole thing is like an Uddhav Gita. Krishna is giving the sandesh, Gita sandesh, to Uddhav. And this part of Gita, or this version of Gita, is by our acharyas considered to be more advanced than the Bhagavad Gita itself, because Krishna goes deeper into understanding or explaining the philosophy, because this time he is explaining it to Uddhav. Uddhav, spiritually lot more advanced than Arjuna, and this is no battlefield. So this is very deep, intimate explanation of the Bhagavad Gita, especially this chapter, just as it is called Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Like there is the three famous ways to achieve Krishna or achieve liberation. What are they? Three ways, three margas. Gyan marg and yog and bhakti. And the superior most is? Oh, that was easy. That was very quick. Everybody is trying to give the answer to that one. So, this chapter is saying beyond knowledge, beyond the jnana or jnana marg, and beyond renunciation. One doesn't have to be renounced to be in the highest position of a devotee. The gopis had families, had children, husbands, mother-in-law, household, everything. But they are considered to be the highest form of devotees, because they are in this madhurya. They are in the parakya bhav. Parakya,
Everybody understands the parakya bhav here. Who understands the parakya bhav? Means there is a swakya bhav and there is a parakya bhav. Swakya bhav is love within your marital relationship. To love your own husband or your own wife is a swakya love. But loving somebody else's husband and or somebody else's wife is not swakya. That is parakya. And that is what we want all of you to do. Who's ready? Love outside of marriage. Loving somebody else other than your own husband. Loving somebody else more intimately than your own wife. Who does that? Gopinath does that. And we should also. We should also love him more than our own husband or our own wife. That is parakya. There are so many different kinds of love. Since I didn't get any answers, I'll give a little bit more explanation. I wasn't planning to. Let's say for a woman, she loves, every woman loves so many men. She loves her brothers in a brotherly way. She loves her father and or uncles in fatherly way. She loves younger, very young siblings or her own children, boys or men who are her own offspring. She loves them as a mother. But every woman reserves the highest kind of love for her husband and her husband only. There are certain things she would not tell her father. She would not tell her brothers. She would not tell her sons. But she'll tell her husband. So there's that exclusive club with one member. The club has one member. Just my husband. A woman may say to anyone, Prabhuji, I love you like my own son. I love you like my brother. Or you're just like a father to me. But a woman will never go to another man and say, oh, you're just like my husband. Does that happen in Bombay? No. Won't happen. So, there is that exclusive. Like in the process of Sharanagati, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the process of Sharanagati and the six principles of Sharanagati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur later repeated, no, all the acharyas basically repeated at one time or the other, the six principles of Sharanagati. Who knows the six principles of Sharanagati here? Everybody don't raise your hands all together, because I will have trouble finding who's raising their hand. Danya Atmani Vedana Goptratve Varana Avasharakshibe Krishna Vishwasapalana Bhakti Anukula Matra Karyera Svikara Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjanangikara. Danya is humility. Atmanivedan, kind of understand Atmanivedan. Goptratve Varana, Avashya Rakshibhi Krishna, Vishwasa Palana. They all seem like similar to each other. Prabhuji, these are so many principles, but they all sound like synonyms to each other. Not really. Goptratve Varana is exclusive. Who knows what Goptratve Varana means? Goptratve Varana. Lord is the maintainer. But then, you've already done Atma Samarpan. Who would you do the Atma Samarpan to? Your maintainer. So that is the translation, right translation, that Lord is the maintainer. Goptratve Varana, the word Varana means take him like your husband. Var. Any Gujaratis here? What is Var? Var is the husband. So accept Krishna as your husband, your maintainer. For a woman, the day she gets married to somebody, that person is her whole life now. From that day on, even her father would try to give her something, she would say twice, no, no, Dad, you've given me so much. You ever heard anybody's wives telling their husband, oh, please don't give me any more? The day a woman gets married, the woman will not fight with anyone except her own husband. Very, very big exception. It may happen in city like Bombay, but generally speaking, women don't go out and fight with other men outside. Inside the home, they will fight their own husband, that's all. But not outside. They don't get too angry at men who are not their husband. They don't get mad at men that much, or express their anger even if they are mad. They'll just shut up and come home. Avoid the hassle of expressing anger and so on. They'll go home and do it. And the husband may be in more trouble now, because she's mad at another man outside. that is a side effect. But the point is, Varana is we should accept Krishna as our maintainer like a woman accepts a man as her husband. Exclusive. One. She's not expecting anything from anyone else now. Whatever I need, my husband will provide. I don't need from anybody else. So, devotees should be that way with Krishna. Krishna is my only maintainer. Nobody else. So that is called the highest quality of love, the highest level of love. But here the gopis or the parakya bhav, coming back to the parakya, you go one notch even higher. Because this woman has given her highest love to her husband, and now we want her to go one notch higher. Higher than her husband, Gopinath. Nobody else. That would be pap. Parakya means somebody else's husband, but it can only be Krishna. Not even another form of Vishnu. No other incarnations of Krishna will accept Parakya. Only Krishna is going to accept your parakya bhav, love outside of your marriage. That is parakya. So everybody understands parakya and swakya so far? Clear? Any questions on swakya or parakya? Because we're going to be talking about this matter with the gopis, and to understand the gopis' love, you have to understand the kind of love that we're talking about. Otherwise, nothing else will make sense any further. Everybody understands completely swakya and parakya. Okay, so that now the gopis are in parakya bhav. So that is what is explained here, is the gopis, Krishna is saying, Krishna is explaining this to Uddhava, that just as the great sages in yoga trance merge into self-realization, the rivers merging into the ocean, and thus not aware of their material names or forms. Similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan were so completely attached to me within their minds that they could not think of their own bodies or of this world. And this purport further is trying to explain the love of the gopis. When Krishna played on his flute late at night, the gopis immediately forgot everything about their so-called husbands and children and went to dance with Lord Krishna in the forest. So how come we're calling the husband the so-called husband? How can we say that? this gopi is married to somebody, is bringing up her children, looking after his children, and giving birth to his children, and looking after his household and everything, and we're calling that a so-called husband. How can we do that? Who can answer that? Why are we calling that husband a so-called husband? Now you understand the Swakiya and Parakiya. So if you understand the Swakiya and Parakiya, you should be able to answer this question. Why is this husband being called so-called husband? Why isn't he the real husband? The gopi is living in his house, producing his children, looking after his household, has his name attached to the end of her name, and now the husband is so-called. Who can answer that? Please. Don't all of you raise your hands all at once. One at a time. No? It is so-called husband because the husband is the husband of the body, not the soul. Every woman has had so many husbands since because she's had so many bodies. In every body, the husband will change or may change or may not change. The one husband who doesn't change, never changes, is Krishna. Because he is not the husband of my body, he is the husband of my soul. That is my only real eternal relationship. That's why, other than that relationship, every relationship is a so-called relationship. It's not a real relationship because it's not eternal. It is just a so-called relationship, or you can say temporary relationship. A woman marries a man forever. But it is temporary because the body is temporary, yours and his also. So how is it permanent? But accepting Krishna as my only maintainer from the soul end of it, that is an eternal marriage. That marriage will never end. That's why Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. That is an eternal relationship. Is it making sense now? All right. Can we go further? Okay. The basic explanation is that Lord Krishna is the source of everything and the gopis are the Lord's own potency. There are three different kinds of potencies, and gopis are his potencies, so are we. We are also his potencies. But what is the difference between the gopis and us? We should be the gopis too. Gopis are his potency, so are we. The difference is, we have forgotten that relationship. The gopis haven't. We have forgotten that relationship. And because the gopis still remember and act on that, that's why Krishna is saying they're the highest of the devotees. Highest of the highest. Some time ago, as somebody said earlier, no, at the last night program, I started coming to Krishna consciousness in 1979. So next year I'll be completing 40 years. And towards the earlier stages,
it was generally considered that the women are lower. And somebody even made a remark that for them to go back to Godhead, they have to come back in a man's body. And this thing was kind of ballooning. And one day, one Maharaj Sannyasi, he gave a class on it. He said, no, that's not true. The women, their mentality, their understanding is actually more suitable to be a devotee than men's. Because as men, we have to fight our, lord it over nature more. Men want to get served. So it's harder in a man's body to be the servant. For women, it's actually much easier, more natural. So, not that the Shastra says that, but it is more suitable that a man has to come back in a woman's body to go back to Godhead. As you see, all these gopis, they're the highest form of devotees. Those days we did not have the 11th canto. And nobody read the 10th canto even, because everyone was trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction, don't jump to the 10th canto, start with 1. And starting with 1, getting up to 10, there's so many verses in between, and one verse a day, it would take years and years to get. So, I don't think that misunderstanding still stands and is gone. I think we're doing much better. Going further, personality of Godhead's loving affairs with his own manifest potency, the gopis, who happen to be in the most beautiful young girls in the creation of God. In the next paragraph, it is explained. Well, I wanted to tell you about the rivers. The rivers merging into the ocean, like the Ganga going into the ocean. And then once it mixes into the ocean, what is it called? Becomes the ocean. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas and he started the Sankirtan movement, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. He wanted so bad, I want to go to Vrindavan. Sometimes he would go into ecstasy, and in his spiritual ecstasy, he is going to Vrindavan or reached Vrindavan. So one day he was having such an ecstasy, and when he came out of that ecstasy, he saw a river. So because he is thinking Vrindavan, he asked everyone, have we reached Vrindavan? Is this Yamuna? And Lord Nityananda, who was sick and tired of him, wanted to go to Vrindavan all the time, said, yes, this is Yamuna, go jump in it. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and jumps into the Ganga. Somehow or the other, he comes out at the other end and he sees Advaita Acharya is standing there. And he asks Advaita Acharya, Advaitacharya, what are you doing here? So what? What do you mean what I'm doing here? Say, isn't this Vrindavan? I said, no, this is Shantipur. I'm at home. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets mad at Nityananda. How dare you tell me this is Yamuna? This is Ganga. Why did you misguide me? I said, well, you're asking for Yamuna in Bengal. This is the only form of Yamuna we have because Yamuna mixed into Ganga back in Prayag. So this is Yamuna. I did not say anything wrong. Where is Yamuna? In Prayag, Yamuna goes and mixes into Ganga. Then where is Yamuna? This is Yamuna. This is Saraswati also. I did not lie to you. Don't get mad at me. I told you the truth. But as it says here, rivers merging into the ocean, they lose their names and their forms. They lose their form, they lose their name, and they merge into something else. Like at Prayag, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati merged. And what came out? Ganga. No more Saraswati, no more Yamuna. Like that, there is Prayag, there is five other Prayags where major rivers meet and at times they lose their names. And another five of them are called Prayag. Who knows the five Prayags? Who's been to Badrinath? One devotee has been to Badrinath. Two, three, four. That's all. Five, six. Slowly people are remembering. Badrinath, yeah, it's Badrinath. I don't know how to translate it in English. Badrinath Dham, when you go there, you have to cross this river to get to the temple. You come to this side of the river and then you have to cross the river to go to the temple. Temple is right there, but it's across the river. That river is Alaknanda. And Alaknanda can be seen coming out of the Nilkanth. There's a beautiful big mountain there where you can see Alaknanda is coming out of. And it's the most beautiful river you've ever seen. The color is like a blue-green mixed color. Beautiful. And it's completely transparent. So that is Alaknanda, and when Alaknanda, it's one of the highest rivers to make up the Ganga. So let's say from here that the Ganga is supposed to come from where? Kailash? From the top of the Kailash. So on top of the Kailash, if this is the top and you release some water here, what would that water do? It would spread all over. Just like when you put water on the Shivalinga, what happens? Do you come down one stream? No, it goes all over. So many streams come out. One of the highest streams is Bhagirathi, or the highest stream is named stream is Bhagirathi, and the second highest named stream is Alaknanda. So they're both coming down. So what happens from the top of the Kailash mountain? 12 major rivers are formed by one Ganga coming from Swargaloka into the top of Kailash. So, six of them fall this way, where India is. This side of Kailash is India. Kailash is in Tibet, but on this side is India. And the other side of Kailash is China. So 12 major rivers are coming out. Six come this way and six go that way. So from the six coming this way, Alaknanda, Bhagirathi and all, they make five more prayags out there. So Alaknanda is flowing. So many little streams will come and mix in it, but there's a major stream that comes and mixes in it. That is called Dhauli Ganga. Dhauli Ganga meets Alaknanda, and Dhauli Ganga loses its name, becomes Alaknanda. And that place is called Vishnu Prayag. Further, another river, major stream, comes and mixes into Alaknanda. That river is known as Nandakini Nadi. Nandakini. And when the Nandakini meets Alaknanda, that place is called Nanda Prayag. And going further, another major stream comes down from another mountain. That is known as Pindar. Pindar Nadi. When Pindar Nadi meets Alaknanda, that place is called Rudra Prayag. Now that I'm saying the names, they're all coming. I can see the eyes light up. Yes, Rudra Prayag. That is Rudra Prayag. Now, that river going further meets with Mandakini, that is Karan Prayag, and then Major Prayag is when it meets with Bhagirathi. So when Bhagirathi and Alaknanda meet, that is called Dev Prayag. That is the biggest Prayag. And when they meet at Dev Prayag, they both lose their name. Both of them lose their names. Like a woman also gets married into another family, now loses her name, loses her identity. She doesn't belong to that family now, she belongs to this family now. She's going to produce children, and whose children are they going to be? This family's children that she married into, not the family that she came from. So, these two rivers meeting at Dev Prayag together now form what is called Ganga. So, Ganga, in that sense, by the name Ganga, is only coming from Dev Prayag. Because we don't call it Ganga before Dev Prayag. So, that is the six streams on this side. Then there is the six streams that go on the other side into China. They're called Ching, Ming, Wing, Ting. But when they all meet, they form one river bigger than Ganga actually. That is Chin Yu river. And that Chin Yu river comes back to India from China. And when it enters India, we call it Brahmaputra. That becomes Brahmaputra Nadi. Now Brahmaputra comes into the northeast of India, Assam and all that, and then it goes into Bangladesh. And then your this river, Alaknanda and Bhagirathi, that became Ganga, they are going into Rishikesh, Haridwar, Prayag,
going to just before Calcutta, that major Ganga splits into two. So one part goes to Mayapur, where we go take the Ganga bath, and the other major part goes into Bangladesh. So that major part that goes towards Mayapur, where we take bath at Mayapur, is not actually known as Ganga, although it is Ganga, but the name is not Ganga, the name is Hooghly. So these 6 streams going from this side and 6 streams coming from that side, by the time they meet at Ganga Sagar. That's why the big significance of taking a bath at Ganga Sagar is that means you took a bath in 12 streams of Ganga that are coming from Kailash. That is the big significance of taking bath in Ganga Sagar. Everybody's heard. Sare Tirat Bar Bar Ganga Sagar Ek Bar, this, that, the highest dham is the Ganga Sagar. Why? Because until you get to Ganga Sagar, like if you take bath in Alaknanda, is not Ganga, but it is Ganga, but it's not Ganga. So even if you took bath in the Ganga at Haridwar or Rishikesh, taking bath in the same Ganga at Ganga Sagar is even higher significance. Why? Because the 12 streams are there, only 6 streams are here. But because of causeless mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the Ganga goes into Bangladesh and Brahmaputra also comes into Bangladesh, they both meet and they cannot handle the pressure, so one little stream comes back into India like an overflow. And it goes right on the other side of Mayapur, is known as Jalangi. Jalangi River. Everybody's heard of Jalangi. Who's been to Mayapur here? Okay, many devotees have been to Mayapur. So Mayapur, one side, the front of the temple, there's Ganga going, and on this side of the temple, there's another river called Jalangi. So when the Jalangi comes and meets the Ganga, the Jalangi is bringing the other 6 streams back into India and mixing it in the Hooghly, which already has the other 6 streams from this side. So if you take bath from anywhere in Navdeep after Jalangi and Ganga mixing together, that is Ganga Sagar, because the 12 streams are there. So you don't have to go. Oh, what time is it? There's no watch or clock to look. How much time do I have? I can't see that far. Oh, I'm sorry. Any questions or comments? Yes. Can somebody give her a mic?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So where is this junction of Jalangi meeting the Ganga where we could go and have a bath? Where exactly is it in Navadvip? Where exactly is this junction?
Okay, that is exactly where you take, when you take a boat from Mayapur to go to Navadvip, right? Then you see the two rivers mixing. This Hooghly from over here is kind of yellow, like dirt, little dirty color. And the Jalangi coming from there is more green. So you can see them mixing two different colors together. So once they mix, anywhere further than that, you have the 12 streams.
But that's like in the middle of the rivers, right?
You don't have to...
Which ghat should we go? Yeah. To be more specific, which ghat?
Once they have mixed, okay. So, I'll tell you. There is a, like a boat terminal on the Navdeep side, where you get off the boat. All you have to do is get off the boat there and walk maybe 50 meters towards the flow of Ganga. There is a ghat right there.
Reverse.
Yeah. Not reverse. Flow of Ganga.
It's going this way.
Yeah.
Right? So Navdeep's here. So you go this way.
Yeah. Farther.
Okay.
Then there is one ghat. After that, so many ghats. But within 50 meters, there is the first ghat. So at that first ghat, Jalangi and Hooghly have already met. So that is full Ganga.
Not Surabhi Ghat. Not Surabhi Kunj.
No.
No.
There is only Jalangi there.
Okay, this way.
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Any other question? Yes. As a husband, yes. No, and yes, first thing to understand that this whole thing is not just for the women. At that end, we are all women. He is the only man. Yes. Husband of your soul, not your body. Your body is man. Your soul is not man. Do you have a man? Do you have a masculine soul inside? No. Does your soul have a gender? So it's not your body. That we're not talking about a bodily or physical relationship. We're talking the relationship on the cellular level. So your soul is, you are the Jiva and Jiva Swarupo Krishna Nitya Das. Your soul is already wife of Krishna or servant of Krishna or subservient to Krishna or the slave of Krishna, whatever. But that soul is kind of forgotten because of the Maya. And it is now thinking that maybe he is not the man, I am the man. Maybe he is not the controller, I am the controller. Maybe he should not be served, I should be served. And that's what brought us here. So, on that level, we are all women. We are only in a man's body. That doesn't make our soul to be a masculine soul. If a woman in the woman's body say, oh, my soul is feminine. No, your body is feminine. Your soul is not feminine because the soul has no gender. So, considering husband is said, Goptratve Varana is mentioned, Shishirada Gopinath ki. So the word husband or Varana is only mentioned categorically. Not exactly, categorically, because every woman only has one exclusive relationship. She may have so many sons, she may have so many brothers, she may have so many fatherly figures in her life. But she will not have so many husbands, only one. So the word Varana or husband is only mentioned because that is exclusive relationship. The same thing, if you are in a man's body, you have a wife, there is that wife. You don't go around say to other women, oh, you're just like my wife. Right? No, I'm not saying entire world is gopi, but I'm saying he is the only man and we are all women, we are all subservient. And because we have forgotten that relationship, that we are servants of Krishna, because we wanted to be the man ourselves, that's why we deserved to come to this material world and suffer here like crazy that we are. We're trying to be a man that we're not. We're trying to be a controller and we cannot. We're trying to lord it over and we cannot. That's why we're all suffering. So, in order to get out of that suffering, we should understand our constitutional position and accept him as the husband or the one person that is top relationship. Make sense or no? See, from a physical point of view, from a bodily point of view, this doesn't work. So don't think on bodily point of view. Think from the soul basis. None of this, because none of this that we were talking about is based on a body. It's the position of the soul. So soul has one master. It's the same thing. Master, husband, when it comes to Krishna, he is the only one. That is the message that is given by acharyas. That is the message Krishna is giving himself here. This is spoken by Krishna. Krishna is himself giving that same message. That one master. And that one master is him for the gopis. So that's why their bodily, physically married husband was a so-called husband. Because the real husband is Gopinath. So that is not a so-called husband, is a real husband, but the real husband of the body, not the soul. Who is the husband of the soul or the master of the soul? Is Krishna. It's not that easy to sink your mind into, but here it is. Try and understand on a soul level, not on a physical bodily level. This cannot be understood from a physical bodily level. You have to understand it from a soul level. From a physical bodily level, you'll only understand swakya, but this is not swakya, this is parakya. He is the only husband, he is the only master. Just like a woman has only one husband. So husband is an example used, not exact term husband, but husband is used as an example because that is the relationship, there's only one of. Master and servant, whichever way you want to look at it. Alright. Any other questions? Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you.